Success always starts with God's Word. Pastors Glenn and Esther Nurse presents this inspirational teaching as they share with you some of the rich truths that have profoundly and dramatically affected their lives. Join them now as we receive from God's Word.
Excellent. Well, we're beginning a new series, Believer's Authority.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual battle, right? Every single day there is a battle that is raging in the spirit that is around us. There is a battle in our hearts. There is a battle in our minds. There's a battle in society. There's a battle in the nation. There's a battle in the world. We're in the middle of a spiritual battle, men and women of God. And God is trying to draw people to himself. He's trying to influence us to live life consistently for him, to live life his way. His purpose for our life is God's focus to draw us into this. He wants his blessing to be able to manifest within our lives.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people don't think we're in a spiritual battle. Or if they do, they think that Satan is just an influence. I want to tell you something. Satan is a being.
That's right.
He's a being. And to say you believe in God and don't believe in Satan is to call the Bible a liar.
Yeah.
Because from Genesis, somebody showed up and talked to Eve.
Yeah.
It was not an influence. It was a being who spoke.
That's right.
And then we call Jesus in the wilderness when he was tempted by a being.
Yeah.
Right? So it wasn't an influence. Somebody showed up. So you better wake up and realize you're dealing with a very real being.
That's right.
Who is alive and well. So while Pastor G was saying is we are in a spiritual battle.
Yep.
And at the same time that Satan is trying to steal our hearts away and life from God. So we're in this battle. Well, we've given our life to Jesus, but you better be aware that Satan is continually trying to steal your heart, trying to direct your life away from God. Yeah. He's in an all-out battle against God and his kingdom. All out. So we're going to talk about this stuff today because the enemy is consistently pouring trash, pouring corruption, pouring wrong thoughts into people's lives because he's got one plan, to steal, kill and destroy. Let me tell you, I don't care what the devil says to you, he ain't your friend. He ain't your friend. I don't care how pretty he wraps it. His one purpose is to kill, steal and destroy. So most people, even Christians, don't even recognize we're in an intense spiritual battle. They don't. They don't recognize it. It's waging around them each and every day and they're just going through life like... they don't even know what's going on. They just think that's life, you know. They don't even know the spiritual significance of their choices, of their words, of their actions. Every choice has a responsibility and has a thing in the spiritual realm. I was sharing with the girls yesterday, I was talking to someone many years ago, about 20 years ago now, and I said to her, do not do this. Do not take this phone call. I said, it is determining your spiritual future. You know what? She took the phone call. Today, 20 years later, not walking with Jesus, not in church, and it hinged down to one phone call that the Spirit of the Lord came and said, don't do it. Because we need to recognize we are in a battle. And we minimize those things sometimes. Our words, our actions, our choices have result. And if you are ignorant of these things, then you can be yielded to Satan and you can limit God's blessing, God's purpose in your life. You ready to unpack this today? Yeah. I'm ready. I haven't preached for a while. I'm ready.
So good, Pastor E. The thing is, even if believers recognize that they're in a battle and that the devil is coming at them, most people don't know what to do when he attacks them. So they're like, yeah, I'm in a spiritual battle. I understand. But then the devil comes along and he attacks and they don't know what to do. So good news, if that's you, you're in the right place today. If you don't know what to do when the devil comes and attacks you, you're going to discover some stuff today. We're going to learn about our authority and how we can win over every demonic scheme that comes towards us.
Yep.
Now, Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. He says, don't you recognize that grace frees you to choose your own master. So what does grace do? It frees you to choose your own master. And he says, but choose carefully. A little bit of wisdom coming from Paul here. For you surrender yourself to become a servant, bound to the one you choose to obey. If you choose to love sin, it will become your master and it will own you and reward you with death. So if you choose sin, where do you end up?
Death.
But if you choose love and you obey God, he will lead you into perfect righteousness. It seems like an easy choice, doesn't it? But day by day, people make different choices. So when we're a born-again believer, you need to know that the devil cannot control you outside of your will.
That's right.
In other words, he can only control you if you yield to where he is trying to control you.
Yep.
And then if you yield, he will end up controlling you 100%. However, a lack of awareness and a lack of understanding works to Satan's advantage. If you choose to believe God's word, if you choose to learn to recognize what happens in the spirit realm, you can begin to take proper action. We have to learn about this stuff, men and women of God. If we don't learn about this stuff, we're going to keep making the wrong choices over and over again. You can make choices when you begin to take the proper action. That will improve your situation instantly.
Yep.
It will boot the devil out of your life just by cooperating with God, and he will manifest his authority and his blessing into your life.
Yeah, so true. So let me take you back to the first part of that verse. In Romans 6, don't you realize that grace frees you to choose your own master?
Right.
What's Paul saying there? Before you knew Jesus, Satan was your daddy.
Yeah.
I'm saying it that plain. He was your daddy. And what's that daddy out to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. You had a bad daddy.
Yeah.
A really bad daddy.
He's a bad, right? Bad father.
So he had control. Yeah, you used to sing that
as
your song.
That's who he was.
That's who he was. Yeah. So he, you had no power over sin. He is sin.
Yeah.
You had no power. Satan was in control of your life. You had to take whatever he served you up.
Yeah.
Right? So without salvation, Satan is your daddy. John 8:44 tells you that. But if you receive Jesus, God becomes your dad.
Yay.
Back to you then have the grace to choose.
Yeah.
You don't have choice under Satan. He's going to steal, kill, and destroy your life.
Yep.
But when you receive Jesus, you have a choice to choose your master.
Cool.
Woo, it's a good choice too.
Yeah.
So James 4:7-8. So then, because you have the power to choose who will be your master,
that's
because
right.
God is now your daddy when you are born again, so then surrender to God. Lay down and be scared of the devil.
No.
What does the Bible say?
Stand up
and resist the devil.
Come on.
You stand up and resist him and he will flee. Here's my favorite word.
Yeah.
In agony. But if you don't stand up,
yep.
he ain't going to flee.
Yep.
Move your heart closer and closer to God and he will come even closer to you. Now, here's what I want to point out to this. Does that Bible say, pastor, stand up to the devil? No. It says, you surrender to God and you stand up to the devil.
Yeah.
Right? So you can resist the devil in Jesus' name because you're a born-again believer.
That's right.
When Satan was your bad daddy, he's a bad, bad father, you couldn't resist him. You were at his mercy, which he has zero mercy. But then you receive Jesus, and the Bible says you, because you receive Jesus, you can stand up to Satan himself.
Yeah.
Satan himself. Why you be scared of demons?
Yeah.
There is nothing to Jesus.
Nothing.
And the greater one is in you. So you surrender to God, you do things his own way, and you stand up to the devil.
Yeah.
It doesn't say pretend he's not real. It doesn't say ignore him. Ooh, I sense an evil present. I'm going to roll over. I'm going to go back to sleep. No, I'll try this side. I'm having a bad dream. Oh, just move. No. Stand up to the devil. How dare you come in my thought life? Get out in Jesus' name. Stand up. You've got to command the devil and demonic forces to obey God's authority in you.
Yeah.
God's authority is in you.
Yeah, that's right.
Everything we talked about at Easter that Jesus won at the cross, it's in you. That's why the devil don't scare me, because he's not fighting with me, he's fighting with God. Jesus. So by resisting him, by not yielding to torment, by not accepting it as okay or the norm. I don't accept it as okay. If I ever get a bad nightmare, sometimes you get them because you're too hot, I still don't care. I cast the devil out of the room in Jesus' name. Like, I ain't having bad nightmares. I'm like, whoa, get out. Get out. Do you know last week at Easter, we were here sitting here on Sunday and a demon came in the room.
Mm.
I was down there on the front and the words started to go crazy and the things started to mess up. I went, oh, get out. I said, get out in Jesus' name. This is holy ground. Get out. He left.
Yeah.
Words came back into order. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sometimes we accept that as normal. There's a glitch in the system.
No.
But other times there's a demon in the room and you better get rid of him. Stand up to him and say, I said, get out.
That's right.
Yeah.
So this morning I walked around the room.
Yes, you did.
I said, in Jesus' name, this is holy ground. No demons coming in here in the name of Jesus.
Right.
You mark your territory, people, right? And listen, he has to flee.
Yeah, he does.
The devil does not have a choice. And if he says to you the opposite, he's a liar, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, he has no choice because of the blood of Jesus. No matter what he says, he has to. I've had demons yell at me and say, I'm not going, I've been here for years. I don't care, you have to. You have to. You have no choice. Either they opened the door. I don't care. It's shut now. You have to.
That's right.
You have to. The devil will try anything. But the Bible says he has to flee.
Yeah.
Now, the closer you get to God, the more intimate you become with him, knowing more than your bestie is what I'm talking about, not just about him. Not just about him, like everybody knows Taylor Swift. Oh, you belong to me. You go to the concert, you know. But what I'm talking about, if Taylor Swift walked up, would she go, hi, Glenn?
Hi.
No, she would not.
Oh.
Because he would know about her,
yes.
But she doesn't know Taylor Swift. And we can be like that with God. We can sing the songs, you belong to me. Or we can sing, good, good Father. But does God walk up to you and go, hi, Pastor E?
Yeah.
That's knowing God. That's knowing. That's intimately acquainted. So know him as a person. Do you know you can know God's voice? You can know God's tone? You can know God's look? Hey, parents, right? We look at our kids, someone like, and they're like, they know what it means. They're like, yeah. And do you know God sometimes? You can get to know God and God will give you that look like you're going to keep going. Yes, Jesus. That's the kind of intimacy that God's talking about, knowing him. Have you ever had that feeling where your back's turned, someone walks up behind you and you sense it's them? That's how it should be with God. So the closer you get to God, except for Danny, don't hug Danny.
Or Tui.
You might get a black eye. So here's the thing, the closer you get to God, the stronger his presence is on you.
That's right.
The further the devil will flee in agony from you because
That's
of Jesus in you. So the more, the longer I've walked with God, the stronger his presence has become, the less I ever have demons come to my home.
Yeah.
They used to come all the time when I was first saved. Telling you, I was a bit wild. So I had to learn, I had to grow, and I had to stand. And now the presence of God. Devil don't want to hang around people full of the presence of God. You get yourself full of the presence of God, he's going to be very scared to come. I've had demons come into my room and they've got a fright. Because they weren't expecting. They're probably just roaming and they walked in like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I've sensed them get a fright. I'm like, that's right, out. This property belongs to Jesus. So the devil will not want to hang around you when you come close to God.
We don't want the devil hanging around us, do we?
No.
That is not something we want. But if we're just passive, if we just ignore the devil and we lack resistance, that doesn't stop the battle.
Right.
Right? It simply means that you're losing.
Yeah.
That's what it means. If you ignore the devil and you don't resist him and, you know, it doesn't stop the battle. It just means you're not winning in any way. It simply means that Satan has the ability to just keep beating you up. You just become a punching bag for the devil. Mm-hmm. He's tormenting you. He's stealing from you. He's destroying your life and your family right under your nose because you don't want to do what you are equipped to do.
Yeah.
So as we get into this series, we're going to share revelations from the Word of God that have the potential to transform your life.
Yes.
To change it from where it has been to where it should be. But you're going to have to choose to act on the revelation that you get. Mm-hmm. If you choose not to, you're just going to continue to be that beating bag, that punching bag for the devil.
Yep.
But if you choose to do it God's way, things in your life will change quickly. So as you begin to understand and exercise your authority as a believer in Jesus, Satan will flee.
Yeah.
In Pastor E's favorite part, in agony.
Yeah.
Okay? He's just not going to walk away. He's going to flee in agony. In other words, he is going to cease his attack that is on your life.
He's not going to leave just because you know he should.
No.
You can lay in bed with a demon in your room going, no, you shouldn't be here. But if you don't stand up and in the name of Jesus, deal with it, he's going to hang. You've got to stand in the name of Jesus so that God's power and his purpose will manifest in your life. We're not saying you won't go through trials or tribulations. We're saying that you will stop the enemy stopping God's purpose for your life, obstructing it.
That's right. You'll be able to take your life and walk into your future. You'll be able to take where you are now and get into the perfect will that God has for you like never before, being right in the center of where he wants you to be.
Yeah. I hope you young people are listening to this because you need to get a hold of it to do the journey. You need to get a hold of it and know the devil cannot have power over your life or your destiny unless you give it to him. He's defeated. And you've got to become a believer who is convinced that no work of the enemy will prevail against the will of God. I believe I'm convinced about that. I believe that when God has said something, that I don't care what the devil does, it will prevail. Amen. It will not prevail against the purpose of God for our life as a church, for our life as individually. He can do whatever he likes, but he ain't stopping the purpose of God. We be convinced.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the problem is, most believers have authority that they do not know anything about.
Right. Yep.
They have authority that they have not yet discovered in their life. Authority that they are not using in their life. They are living defeated. They are living being stolen from. Yeah. They are being destroyed because they don't know the authority that has already been given to them.
Yeah. I mean, it's like having $1 million in your bank account, but if you don't know it's there, what good is it to you?
Yep.
If you're not going to pay your bills, if you don't use your PIN number, if you don't go to the ATM, if you don't do the direct deposit, if you don't scan the QR code, that is no good to you. And that is exactly like your authority in Christ. It's all there. But if you don't access it, if you don't use it, if you don't stand on it, it's no good to you.
That's right.
And as a church, do you know as a church we have authority?
Yes, we do.
We have a corporate authority. We have a corporate authority in Sydney, Australia. We have a corporate authority over Australia.
Yeah, we do.
We have an ability to pray, which was I love our prayers on Sunday night because we start to declare what will come in and out of our nation.
And it
because
does.
We tell the devil, you will not. We have authority as a church. We have authority as a church. Many churches haven't realised that or they're not even using it. They go to the edge of that authority, but then they never step over. They never step over. Before Jesus comes again, though, let me tell you, this I know that I know. There's going to rise a whole company of believers who know their authority in Christ, who begin to stand up, who begin to take, that's enough, that's enough. They will know their God. They'll not just know about him, but they will know who he is. They will know their God. They will know what is theirs and they will own it and live in it. You know? We own it and live in it. Maximize Church, this is what God's called us to do. We're not in comparison with anyone else. We own what God's called us to do. We take authority over our church, our lane, what God has called us, and we do that. Yes. There's a group arising. Amen. We will do the work of that God intended, the kingdom work. That's the company of believers that's going to arise before Jesus comes back, and they're going to do great exploits, miraculous feat, adventures, deeds, take territories and regions. Amen. Before we even stepped foot in this building, what did we do?
Oh,
we marched around it. We took the territory spiritually.
Yeah.
We hadn't even got the lease then. But we took it spiritually and we said, hey, devil, you better move out because we're moving in. And that's how you got to do life. That's people taking territories and regions in Jesus' name. That's the company that will arise.
Ooh, are you ready? Amen. The book of Ephesians tells us about the authority of the believer. That's where a lot of it's based in. And in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul prays a prayer. Now, this prayer unwraps the authority of the born-again believer. So we're going to start looking at that in Ephesians 1, verse 15. It says, "Since I first heard about your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your tender love towards all his devoted ones, my heart is full and overflowing with thanks to God for you as I constantly remember you in my prayers. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him." What did Paul pray? That's what Paul prayed would happen in our lives. Again, he says in the next verse, "I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is, the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones." Next verse, "I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realms." This is what Paul prayed over us, the believer.
So Paul says, the resurrection power that raised Jesus is in you, Sonny Loudon.
Yeah.
It's in you, Miranda. It's in you, Tui. It's in you, Danny. It's in you, Alberto. It's in you, Bayer. Yeah. It's in you, Derek. It's in you, Mark. It's in you, Danny. It's in you, Melissa. It's in you, Joanna. It's in you, Gina. It's in you, Grace. It's in you, Lani. It's in you, Danny. It's in you, Sue.
And it's Amos, you're full of it.
You're full of it. In a good way.
In a good way. Whoa.
So this mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead, it seated him in the highest honour, supreme authority in the heavenly realm is in you. But Paul doesn't stop there. God love Uncle Paul.
Yeah.
He goes on in Ephesians 3 and he says, "So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth." Yeah. He's not just your father in heaven. He is your father on earth. And he is the perfect father.
Yep.
No matter what your natural father was or wasn't, you now have a perfect father. And Paul says again, "I pray that he would unveil within," Pastor G. No. "Within you." Within me, you. "The unlimited riches of his glory." You can have unlimited riches of glory.
Yeah.
Right? "And favour."
Come on.
"Unlimited riches of glory and favour until supernatural strength." I pulled on that verse these last 6 weeks. "Supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power." That ain't weak. That ain't weak. We got such a weak Christianity out there. I'm like, do you read your Bible? Divine might and explosive power. Now, here's the next part. "Then, by constantly," not on and off when you're at church, sometimes, other times, no, "by constantly using," pastor's faith?
No.
Your faith.
Your faith. "The life of Christ will be released deep inside you." Woo. "And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life."
Wow.
Pretty cool, isn't it? "Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of astonishing love of Christ and all its dimensions, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love, how enduring and how inclusive it is, endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours in you until you are filled with overflowing the fullness of God. Maybe if you don't feel the love of God, you don't realize how amazing and great God is. You haven't experienced the resurrection power. You haven't loosed it. Yeah. Because once that comes in, you realize the love of God. But here's the thing. Paul didn't just pray for these people in Ephesus back in the day, 2,000 years ago. He prayed them for us today.
Yep.
They apply for us today. These prayers were given by the Holy Spirit. Given by Holy Spirit. They were given to us as well as the Ephesians. They're prayers for us right now, today, this minute, this moment. We take these prayers. Yeah. And Pastor G and I learned this in Bible school many years ago, to personalize them. So where it said you, we said me. That I, me. So where it says then me, I will be empowered to discover what the Holy Ones experience. We personalize them.
So let's give it a go.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your name?
Melissa.
Oh, yeah, come. What's your name?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try it then. Let's start praying this over ourselves. Okay, there we go. So you can see where you've got to say your name. You say your name, not mine.
Yep.
Your name. Okay. And I pray.
They've got to say it with you, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, you've got to pray with me.
Yeah. Okay, let's go.
Let's go all together.
One, two, three.
And I pray that he would unveil within Pastor G the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength comes past me,
innermost being,
with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using Pastor G's faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside Pastor G,
and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of Pastor G's life.
Then Pastor G will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences. The great magnitude and astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is.
Endless love beyond measurement that transcends Pastor G's understanding.
And this love pours into Pastor G, and who Pastor G is filled to overflowing with the fullness of God.
Good job.
Did you feel the power? The power of the word that comes out when you personalize it to yourself. It's powerful, men and women of God.
Yeah.
That's how to pray the scriptures over yourself. What Paul showed us in Ephesians is not imparted through our intellect. It is not imparted through our mind. It enters our innermost being. It enters our lives when we pray it over ourselves.
Yeah.
Again and again and again.
Yes.
Day after day after day. Week after week. Praying that prayer over yourself. Again and again and again.
Yeah, and if you will take this verse, open it up, Ephesians, it's easy.
Yep.
And if it's weird saying your name, just say me. Yeah. That it will empower me, that it will release me, and this will advance your freedom in Jesus.
Yep.
It really will. It will advance because you're starting to pray and declare it in your own life, and it brings a revelation in your spirit. It will advance your spiritual growth. It will advance your intimacy with Jesus. And you become intimate. And the Holy Spirit will unveil it and reveal it to you like never before.
Mm-mm.
If you're unsure what to pray, get out your Bible, pick out Ephesians chapter 3 and start praying that. Even if you just pray that one bit, a few verses a day as your daily prayer reading, the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal stuff. It's so rich. It will change you. It will free you. And it will change those around you. We need to pray these prayers. Yeah.
But it all starts with a revelation. It all starts with an understanding that the moment that you were born, you entered a spiritual battle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you don't understand that, you'll never understand the authority that Christ has given us. In Ephesians 6, Paul reminds us of the spiritual battle that we are in now. He says, your hand-to-hand combat. Whose hand-to-hand combat?
Mine.
Yours. That's right. Yep. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings. Okay? Mm-hmm. We're not going around slapping people just to slap people. That's not what
you
we're here to do.
You may want to, but you shouldn't.
Oh, yeah, you shouldn't. Yes, use some restraint. So it is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities. Not the little ones, the higher ones. That operate in rebellion underneath the heavenly realm. For they are a class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. That is who we're battling against. That is who is attacking us day by day, week by week. We need to realize that we're in a battle.
Here we are.
But yes, we also have great authority from Jesus. We are in a battle that we are equipped to win.
Yeah.
We have all authority over evil spirits through Christ Jesus, through his victory at Calvary.
Yeah.
He got victory over Satan at Calvary.
Yep.
So our combat with the devil must always be with the awareness that we have authority over him in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ defeated him, so he is already a defeated foe. We now also have the same authority. He is a defeated foe to us. He must flee in agony.
Yes.
There is no wiggle room in that. It must happen. But our believer's authority is something that few believers really know much about. Something it's only given to chosen people. It's only for the pastor. It's only for the elders. It's only for the deacons. No. Others think it's for people who God's given a special gift to. It's for the prophet and the apostle. And no, that's wrong. Jesus' authority belongs to all born-again believers. Who does Jesus' authority belong to? All born-again believers. We received Jesus' authority the moment we were born again. So when you were born, you entered a spiritual battle. When you were born again, you got the authority at that moment that you were born again to win the war that you are in.
Yeah.
When we are made new beings in Christ, we inherit the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus, and we are empowered to use it in prayer. We can go to battle in the realm of the Spirit. We can enforce it like a policeman enforces it, and we can get the victory that we were born to have in life.
You better know the devil doesn't want Christians to know this, right? You better know it. That's why he tries to keep people ignorant, because then he can do whatever he likes. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember one of my favourite stories. We were in Bible school nearly 30 years ago, and we had this guy who was old then. So he came and he was ministering, and he said, I want you to see my picture of my boat. And he held up like a little square photograph, and, you know,
in
a room
of 2,000 people.
We're like, okay, yep. Anyway, he knew Smith Wigglesworth. And I believe he was telling the story of where Smith Wigglesworth, it was in the Philippines, I believe he was, and he was ministering there. And he said one night he was asleep and a demon picked up his bed and shook the bed right across the room. And Smith Wigglesworth went, put it back. So the demon put it back and he went to sleep. And I thought, I like that man. That's some grit right there. Hey, put it back. Because he was dealing with spiritual stuff in the heavenly realm. But that's the authority that we have in Christ.
That's right.
If the devil comes and does something, you say, hey, put it back. That's not yours to move. That's not yours to stop. That's not yours to control. The devil wants to defeat us anytime he wants. So he tries very hard to keep us ignorant. Yeah. He tries to throw our distraction. It's everything else. It's your trauma. It's this. It's that. It's, you know, sometimes it's just no devil.
Mm-hmm.
No, in Jesus' name. So he does everything he can to keep Christians from learning the truth about their authority. The devil's not afraid of you being saved.
Oh, yeah.
He's too late. You're going to heaven.
Exactly.
But if he can keep you ignorant and powerless and under his control and not affecting his kingdom, he'll just leave you saved and going to heaven and ruin your whole life while he's at it.
Yeah.
What he's afraid of is a believer who begins to know God's word, begins to stand up and take authority, does damage to his kingdom. That's what scares the devil. Not your salvation. There's nothing you can do about that. But your authority. When you start taking that, that scares him so bad. So the devil fights on this subject more than anything else because he wants to lose control. He doesn't want to lose control. Satan knows when we learn the truth about what we have in Jesus, his time controlling us, tormenting us, destroying us is over. His time obstructing us is over. So many times, even in our everyday when we are running the church and we hit an obstruction, we'll say, devil, in Jesus' name, get off. We'll deal with it because they're unnecessary obstructions. We dominate and we tell him what to do. Yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah.
You should hear our office sometimes.
Yeah.
We dominate you, devil, in Jesus' name.
I don't know what the neighbours think. But
yeah, they've had a few moments, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We enjoy the authority that's rightfully ours. If I've got $1 million in the bank, I'm going to use it, man. If I've got all power and authority in the name of Jesus, I'm going to use it. I don't need it in heaven. No devil in heaven. I need it now. I need to deal with it now because God's got a plan for our life individually and our life corporately. Jesus won it for us.
That's right.
Don't disrespect what Jesus won for you. He won it. He died so that you could walk in that authority. Walk in it.
Our authority is a spiritual blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said this in Ephesians 1. He says, verse 3, he says, every spiritual blessing. What was that?
Every spiritual.
Not some. Not a few, but every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us. Not will be, not maybe, not could be. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father. The Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped in Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. So our authority is a spiritual gift.
Yep.
It has already been lavished on us as a gift from God. You didn't have to do anything to get the gift. You received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That gift came to your life already for you. In Christ, all the spiritual blessings now belong to us. Not just the person beside you gets the gift. Every believer gets the gift. A sinner doesn't know what belongs to him in Jesus Christ. Therefore, a sinner gets absolutely nothing. And here's the thing. A born-again believer who has no knowledge of what's going on is getting the same thing as the sinner. They're getting absolutely nothing at all. We need to find out what belongs to us. Okay? It's been given to us. We have to realize what belongs to us so that we can use what God has given us to win the victory that he has for us.
Yeah. See, most people, the Bible says, perish for a lack of knowledge. They perish because they don't know. I remember another speaker came through. He was Norval Hayes. He's gone on to glory now as well. And Brother Norval used to come, and Brother Norval would talk till 11 p.m. at night. But, man, he had you wrapped in. You just sat there, oh, my God, it's nearly midnight, because he'd tell you stories. And one thing he said when he first learned about the believer's authority and taking authority, he said, I thought there was a devil behind every bush. And he said, the longer I did it, I found out there was 10. We had a good laugh. But, you know, sometimes we think that addiction or that issue or that lust or that whatever, we don't even bother having a go and saying, devil, if that's you, get off me. You know? Because, hey, what the heck? Some people say, but what if it's not a devil? I say, too bad, I'll beat him up anyway. Give him a shock, you know? Doesn't hurt to bind the devil, you know? So if you're struggling with something in your life that you just can't get over, try standing up to the devil and resisting him in Jesus' name. And if it ain't him and it's something else, doesn't matter. A devil got a good one too anyway in Jesus' name. And
he
had a bit of agony and he deserves it for the times you missed it. Hosea 4:6 says this, my people, not sinners, not the world, are being destroyed because they don't know me, a lack of knowledge. Or the Amplified said it this way, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge of my law or my word, where I reveal my will. Yeah. You are only as powerful as the will of God you know. Yeah. You are only can only walk in what you know, right? Yeah. If you don't learn maths, you can never do maths.
Mm-hmm.
Why can I be a nurse today? Because I went to university and I learned how to be a nurse. Mm-hmm. I learned to operate in my realm and in my lane. And it is the same with our spiritual authority. Yeah. This is why God put teachers in the church.
Yeah.
In his church. Mm. Right? Mm. Notice God put teachers in his church. Mm. He put them in his church. Some things you can't get on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You need teachers. Just you and Jesus, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
Just saying, baby, just saying. All right, God gave us his word. God gave us his word. Ephesians 4:11 says, Jesus gives us the fivefold ministry to teach you his word in his church. In his church. And the Bible's very clear that God set them in the church. That's why I'm not for just sitting at home watching YouTube all day and not being a part of a church.
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't say he gives you the teachers on YouTube and you can watch whatever you like. You know, no. He gives you a home. He gives you a family. He gives you pastors who are like parents.
Yeah.
And there's so many believers who are like orphanage out there just watching YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay, they're alive, but you know what? A home is better. Yeah. A family is better. Yeah. So the reason teachers and fivefold is given is so that you will know what's actually yours.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was mine until a teacher and fivefold came and taught me.
Right.
I sat in church and I learned what was mine. And then I was able to rise up in it and you will be able to rise up in it.
Yeah.
God sets it in the church.
That's right. That's what the teachers do. They teach you so you get it, so you get the revelation. So all Jesus' authority belongs to believers.
Yep.
Okay? Whether they realize it or not, but even just knowing about the authority is not enough. We have to do more than just know about the authority of the believer. Jesus said this in John chapter 8. He says, when you continue to embrace, not momentarily embrace, not from time to time embrace, but when you continue to embrace all that I teach, that's the role of the teacher to teach you, you prove that you are my true followers. For if you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom into your life.
Yes.
Not it might, it will. Okay? It's a commanding statement there. So we must continue to embrace, to abide in, to accept, to act upon the word. We have to be a disciple, a true follower, not just a convert. What's the difference between a disciple and a convert? A disciple is a true follower. A convert just agrees mentally. Oh, the believer's authority. No, that's a really good concept. I might need that one day. That is a convert. But a true disciple is a follower. They listen to the teacher and they do what the teacher does. So as we do this, we will embrace or become intimately acquainted with the truth.
Yeah.
And when that happens, we are released into true freedom in our life. In other words, freedom that will not leave us. It will stay with us.
And as we always say at Maxi,
mm-hmm.
it's not truth and in and of itself that sets you free.
No.
Jesus is truth, is he not? Jesus is truth. He's here, right?
Yep.
Jesus is here, but not everyone's free. Why? Because not everyone's embraced that truth.
That's right.
So it's only the truth that you embrace that sets you free. Truth itself, you can sit here and receive this truth and go, wow, yep, yep. But if you don't embrace it and act upon it, it won't make you free.
Won't
make you free. Can I say this as well? It's important to know. The Bible said in James, surrender to God, submit to God, resist the devil and flee, right? But catch that first bit.
Hmm.
So to the degree that you are under authority is the degree that you will have authority.
That's right.
Submit to God. To the surrender level you have will be the authority that you can operate in. God won't bless rebellion. He won't do it. Rebellion's from the enemy. So you've got to submit to God. You've got to have that submission to God, obey God. And like the centurion, he said, you just say your word, Jesus. I'm a man under authority. Therefore, I have authority. The centurion got it. Most Christians don't.
The centurion did. So the Bible tells us that born-again believers have been given both power and authority
yep.
in Jesus. Luke 10 says this, Jesus speaking, he says, "Now you understand that I have imparted to you my authority to trample over his or the Satan's kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will harm you as you walk in this authority." That is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
We have been gifted something that is measurably powerful in our life. But Jesus says here, he talks about the power that Satan has. He says, Satan has the power of demons, evil spirits, and his cohorts. And that's what he uses to attack our lives. That's what he uses to kill, steal, and destroy us. Mm-hmm. But Jesus says we need to realize that we've got authority over all of them in his name.
Mm.
Not just over the little ones, but over the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. We have the same authority over the wimpy devil as we do over Master Satan. We have the authority over him. So as believers and as a church, we have that authority today.
Mm-hmm.
You've got it right. You have the power.
Yeah.
Tell the person beside you, you got the power.
You got the power.
That's right. You got the power. You've got the power today, right now, right here, every day. You've already got that power. The value of our authority rests on the power that is behind that authority. In and of ourselves, we are food for the devil.
Yeah.
But because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, we have the power because that power rests or resides behind the authority of Jesus.
Yeah.
God himself is the power of the authority.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil and his cohorts are forced to recognize the authority of Jesus when a born-again believer stands up and speaks. Believers who thoroughly understand that the power of God Almighty is backing them can exercise that authority and they can face off with the enemy whenever the enemy attacks.
Yeah. So, physically, in yourself, the devil is more powerful than you. He can take you down. If you think you're going to do it in your own strength, that'd be as dumb as standing in front of my Hyundai when my foot's pedaled to the metal. I'm going to mow you down. I'm driving, you know. But what is delegated authority? It's exactly like a policeman who directs traffic. Now, when you're cruising along, and a policeman steps out and goes, physically, you could mow him down. Why are you stopping? I mean, physically, he can't. What's he going to do? Grab the car at 100K? You know, physically, he can't do anything. We stop because of the delegated authority that stands in that police uniform.
Yeah,
because we know on that police vest or uniform is the whole government.
Yeah.
And we know, can't take down the whole government. Maybe not. I better back off. And that's exactly the same with the enemy. When you stand up and go, stop. All of heaven, like the government, is behind that hand. He's like, whoa, yeah, I lost that battle. And he steps back. That's what delegated authority is. People stop their cars because of the authority that's behind that policeman.
So we, as believers, have authority that has been entrusted to us by Jesus.
Yep.
We have that authority. Paul told us in Ephesians 6, verse 10, he says, "Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you." The authority that we have in us through Jesus is explosive power that is meant to be flowing in and through our lives. This means that we can step out in front of the devil. We can use our authority that Jesus has given us. We can hold up our hand and we can declare in Jesus' name, "Do not come any closer." And he has to flee in agony. He has to cease. He has to desist because we have stood up in the authority that we have been given by Jesus.
Yeah. So, Going back to the policeman, have you ever had them stick out with their stick, you know? Yeah. They don't go, if you're not too busy, I just need a minute, just a minute. They just
Mm-hmm.
There's not a pleading, there's not a begging, right? They're just like, hey, in, you know? And we've got to be that way with the devil, right? So Smith Wigglesworth tells this story about using his delegated authority. Wigglesworth was standing on a street corner waiting for a bus, and a woman came out of her house and her little dog followed her out of the house. And the dog ran out behind her and she said, oh, honey, you have to go back. Well, the dog didn't pay any attention. He rubbed up, mummy, mummy, mummy. And he just wagged his tail and affectionately said, now, dear, you can't go on the bus. You need to go. And the dog wagged its tail like, yeah, 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 right. And then the bus arrived. The bus pulled up and the woman said, get! And the dog took off. And he went straight back to the house. And Smith Wigglesworth hollered out and said, without even thinking, well, that's the way you got to do the devil. And that's exactly right. You don't say, oh, devil, you know, it'd be not, you need to go. No, you say, get in Jesus' name. And if you've ever had me pray for you, I don't muck around. I say, get out in Jesus' name. That's right. I command. Authority has a command. It doesn't beg. It doesn't plead. It says no. It has a command to it. And that's exactly how we speak to Satan when we use our authority. Don't be all lovey-dovey. Devil don't love you. He don't respond to love. He don't respond to mercy. It's not in him. He doesn't understand love. He doesn't understand mercy. He understands, get out in Jesus' name. The Bible says when Jesus was crucified, he made a show of the devil openly. In other words, he dragged him by his hair and said, look what I won.
Mm-hmm.
All through heaven and earth. Jesus didn't show him mercy. Why are you giving him mercy? You shut him out, yell at him and say, stomp your foot, go in Jesus' name. Make sure Satan gets your message loud and clear.
Yeah. Now, Ephesians 6 doesn't tell us to be strong in ourselves.
No.
Okay, truth bomb. It doesn't say a word about being strong in yourself. It says to be strong in Jesus through life union with him.
Yeah, so don't be the doubter voice in your own life.
Yeah.
Okay, we can be that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know whether I can make it or not. That's a voice of doubt.
That's Doosh, right.
Slap yourself. Go, come on, you can make it. I don't know if the word will work for me or not. Bush. I remember the first time I did deliverance, I was in my early 20s. There was a young girl at church. She was over in the corner and the lady distracted me. She ran off there and the demon in her started beating the wall and her fist was bleeding. And I was like, oh, my goodness, that devil's hurting her. So I was about here to the toilet to where, and I said, in Jesus' name, stop. And she wheeled around and said in one of those exorcist voice, I'm going to kill you. And I was about here and I said, she started running towards me. I said, stop in Jesus' name. And literally froze, literally froze. And that's when I went, oh, it works.
Phew.
So I proved that the word of God works, trust me. And I found out later she had a massive knife in her boot, so I'm like really grateful it worked. So don't ever think Satan won't listen to little old me. Don't ever think that, because it's not you. It's the authority of God in you. He ain't listening to little old you. He is listening to the mighty Jesus within you, the one that overcome death, the one that triumphed gloriously. That's who he's listening to. So don't be the voice of doubt in your own life. Stand up. Do it shaking, but stand up.
Because you've already been given the authority.
Yep.
It's already yours. You can do it. You can make it. Don't ever question yourself whether you can. It is what it is. You have the authority. There is no question. So be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong in the power of his might, not in yourself, but in him. 1 John 4 says this, little children, you can be certain that you belong to God and he have conquered them. For the one who is living in you is far greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in the world is Satan. He is the God of this world. He is not your God any longer.
Yep.
He is the head of principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. That's what he does. the power that is in you because of Jesus Christ is greater than the power in the world. So the power that is in you is greater than the power that is in Satan. It's greater than principalities. It's greater than powers. It's greater than rulers of darkness. That power is backed with the greatest authority in existence.
Yeah.
It backs you every single time that you exercise your authority. But only when you know about it.
Yeah.
And only when you act on what you know. Mm-hmm. When you embrace the word. When you become a disciple, not just a follower. Mm-hmm. When you understand that the truth of the word releases the freedom when you get to know it in your life. Yeah. And know that the knowledge that we act on is what brings results in our life.
Yeah.
If we don't act on it, we don't get the result.
Yeah. So as we close, here's what I want you to know. When this becomes revelation in your life, when it is not just head knowledge, but it is revelation that I have the authority, right? It's like you begin to live your life knowing that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Mm. Therefore, God can open a door, God can close a door, but the devil can't.
That's right.
And if God's got an open door for me, there is no demon in hell that can shut that door.
That's right.
But if God is shutting the door, so be it.
Yeah.
So you don't fret when you're applying for that job or applying for that loan or that house. You have this place of peace. You bind the devil. You will not obstruct God's will.
Yeah.
And then you know God's will be done.
Yeah.
And if it closes, it's okay because God saw something you didn't see. But if it opens, then no demon can stop it.
That's right.
So I often consider myself employed by God.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm like, you can get mad as you like, but unless God closes that door, no demon can obstruct what God has for my life. Because I understand that he cannot obstruct the will of God.
Yeah.
My God says my steps are ordered by the Lord.
That's right.
Therefore, my God opens and closes doors, absolutely. And when you face circumstances in your life, I remember 30 years ago when we went through something that if you opened my eyes in the spirit, it looked like a bomb had gone off spiritually. But you know what? Because I knew my authority, I said,
that's
I don't
right.
care what you do, devil. This will not destroy me.
That's right.
Because you don't have the power over me. So we go through things in life that are tough. We go through different things. But when we have this understanding, we don't just put up with the devil. He's always going to be around, but you don't have to put up with him.
Yeah.
You go through something and you say, you know what? You don't have a right to take me out. I will not die. I will not go home till God says it's time. No matter what you throw my way, I will keep binding and loosing and doing what I need to do. And I'm not saying you don't take medication and do what you need. Yes, you do. But you stand in that authority that God has the say.
Amen.
You have the final say, God, in everything. So the devil has no right. God has a right. Submit to God. God has a right to close doors. God has a right to discipline us. God has a right to chasten us. God has a right, but not the devil.
That's right.
So bind him just in case. Make sure. Make sure. He's not obstructing. And then declare that the will of God will be done in my life. For the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. So stand up, church, in the name of Jesus and get rid of him.
Yeah.
If you have a bad nightmare, you know that's not from God. And maybe you did get too hot, but bind him anyway. Give him a kick in the pants. You know what I'm saying? Like, why put up with it? Take authority in Jesus' name. If you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling anxious, stand up and go, I don't have to have anxious. Bible says he's given me peace. I bind you, devil, in Jesus' name. Take authority over those things, whatever it is. Live. You have the right.
Yeah.
You have the right, no matter what's happening around you. Circumstances change. Whatever's happening around you, you have the right to live in joy.
Yeah.
You have the right to live in freedom. You have the right to live in peace. So when we were in that situation where everything looked like 9/11, big black situation, we said, well, the steps of a good man are still ordered of the Lord.
Yep.
And despite this, we still have the right to have peace and joy and faith and hope and love. They're the fruits of the Spirit. You may do all that out there, devil, but I'm coming through.
Yep.
30 years later, I'm still through.
Still through.
I'm still standing here. So have the right. You have the right to enforce it today. Enforce it over your life. Too often we yield quickly.
Mm.
Oh, I'm worried. I'm concerned. Wait a minute. The Bible says the sparrows are cared for.
Yeah.
The Bible says the lilies of the field are fed. I'm a daughter of the King. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. So tell the devil he's not going to stop you. He's not going to rob you of your peace, rob you of your joy, destroy your family. No. And say it out loud. Say it out loud in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So that's your assignment this week. We're going to keep going. We've got a couple more to bring. We'll dig it up and unpack it. But if you're unsure, bind him anyway. As I said, give him a kick in the pants. You might as well.
Yep.
And declare it and say, no, in Jesus' name. Be bold. Who cares? Like I said, our neighbours have heard Rococo and in Jesus' name, get out. I think they might think I'm kicking Glenn out, but I'm not. I'm kicking the devil out. He's still hanging around.
Yeah, so am I.
So it's good. So you're encouraged by that, church. You have the authority in Christ. Amen. Let's stand on our feet.
Thank you, Jesus.
Remember, success always starts with God's Word. Empower your life with resources by Glenn and Esther Nurse. All audio and video are copyrighted in their entirety. Compliance with copyright laws remains your responsibility.